The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord. Here's one thing I've discovered in my own pastoral experience. I've been doing this for almost 30 years now. I've discovered that the greatest obstacle people face in their spiritual life, their attempt to come close to God, is their relationships with other people. Misunderstandings, conflicts, difficulties, rash judgments, antipathies, gossip, chatting behind your back, all these things. If it wasn't for other people, we'd all be saints, right? And Jesus has a few things to say about this today that we want to take a closer look at, about the very necessary and difficult part of life that is human confrontations. My Irish great-grandmother was a woman of very few words, but she used to give marriage advice. She used to say, "In marriage, dear, you gotta be a little bit deaf and a little bit dumb." In other words, in any relationship, you would be wise to recognize that there are some fights that are not worth fighting. You'd be wise to recognize there are some faults that you should just simply overlook. A little bit deaf and a little bit dumb. However, there are some things that you cannot overlook, and you recognize that they must be dealt with painful confrontation, or perhaps even amputation. And this is where Jesus gives us a word of advice. Now, we want to keep this in mind. This is the words of Christ himself, so we want to take this very seriously. He says, take these confrontations in three steps. First, talk to the person himself. Second, take it to a larger group. Third, take it to the church. Let's take a look at each one of those. The first step, after you've determined that a fight is worth fighting, right? And please understand, that's always step number one. The first step is to talk to the person himself. Not to the boss, not to the manager, not to the principal, not to the pastor, not to the bishop, not to the pope. Go to the person himself and talk to him about it. Now, this is hard. The reason people don't want to do this is because it's hard. It's hard, first of all, because it takes a large measure of humility to very gently and tactfully tell someone where there's really a problem that can't be ignored. Anybody can be a bully. Anybody can swing an emotional sledgehammer, just destroy everything, and anybody can do that. But to do it tactfully, truthfully, objectively, takes a large measure of humility. And this is why people don't want to do it. But you have to understand, this is always the necessary first step. It might be hard also to recognize that most people don't take the fault, don't take the correction well. Very, very few people listen to what you have to say, consider your words on their merits, and decide that it's maybe something to go home and think about. Most people get defensive, and you know that. And that's also what makes it difficult. Hard though as it is, though, remember this. You want to know something even harder? Ignoring the problem. Do not live a fool's peace. It's much harder to ignore a problem than it is to just fight it out. Sometimes the path through peace necessarily goes through conflict first. Now, if that person ignores what you say, then and only then do you take the next step. And the next step is bring somebody else in. Tell you a little story. All the names have been blotted out to protect the names of the innocent, but somewhere in our diocese, somewhere there's a priest who wouldn't say his assigned masses. Pastor would tell him to say 10:30 mass. He went to the coffee shop. He knew he was supposed to say mass, he just didn't want to. Right? What's step number one? Pastor talks to the priest, says, "Hey, amigo, you realize you, did you realize you have 10:30 mass? You feeling okay? Is there a no? It's no problem. No, you didn't have any conflict. No, you didn't have any sudden illness. You just sort of didn't feel like it. Okay. Step number two, bring the other priest in the house in. Say, hey, you know, this affects all of us here. If he doesn't act on that, then and only then do you take it to a higher authority. And by the way, just as an aside, this is the scriptural foundation of excommunication. Excommunication is something I like to talk about from time to time because people misunderstand. They think excommunication is the church being really mean to people, when in fact, it's the church's last-ditch effort to try to tell a soul that they must change their ways because their salvation is in jeopardy. So only then do you take it to a higher authority. But do you recognize that in all of this, God is at work? That's the story of our saints today. Let me tell you real briefly. Saints Pontian and Hippolytus. They were terrible enemies in life. But their conflict was part of their sanctification. Pontius was the pope. Hippolytus was a renegade priest. The year was around 230 AD, give or take. And it was a time of terrible persecution in the church. The time of the emperor Maximus Thrax. Even his name sounds threatening. Maximus Thrax. And the issue they disagreed about was the issue of what to do with people who were apostates. Let me explain. Picture this. Your husband just died because he would not renounce Christ in the time of persecution. The Roman soldiers showed up at the door, asked him to renounce his faith in Christ. He refused to do it, and as a consequence, he was thrown to the lions, or beheaded, or covered in pitch and tar and set on fire. And then you come to church that Sunday and you sit right by a nice, beautiful, lovely family whose father was also approached by the Romans. But he did renounce his faith. He said, "Pagan? Apostate? Yep, that's me. Just don't kill me, please, whatever you do." And then afterwards, he just went to confession and said he was sorry. Now, can you see the problem that would create? Conflict that would create? Well, it caused a lot of conflict in the early church. The pope's name was Pontian. And he said, "We got to treat these people mercifully." The priest's name was Hippolytus, and he said, "Are you kidding? Do you have any idea the amount of conflict this causes at the parish level?" And they were public enemies. But as chance would have it, or maybe I should say as providence would have it, they were both arrested for being Christians, both sentenced to death, but first working as slaves in the salt mines in Sardinia. And as providence would have it, they were both assigned to the same salt mine. Pontius the Pope went to Hippolytus the priest and asked for his forgiveness for any words that he might have said that were out of line. Hippolytus was so moved by his humility that he pleaded his own guilt in his own words, begged the Pope to be reconciled to the church, and the two died side by side as brothers, friends in the faith, and martyrs for Christ. And you have to recognize something about this. In all of these conflicts in your life, God is at work. These difficult people in your life are not obstacles to your holiness. They're part of God's plan for your holiness. Nobody is in your life by accident. They're either there to console you or to purify you. I like to say, difficult people in your life, they're the pipe cleaners of the soul. But there's no closeness to Christ without closeness to other people. So when it comes to human conflicts, let's take the words of our Lord to heart. Fight the necessary fight to carry out the necessary conflict as humbly and tactfully as you're able. Leave the rest in the hands of God. Because if you're merciful to your brother, not only will you cancel a multitude of your own sins, you will receive mercy from God himself. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saints Pontian and Hippolytus, pray for us.